When Veronica Roth published the final installment of her Divergent trilogy in 2013, fans worldwide held their breath to discover the ultimate fate of Triss Prior and her dystopian Chicago. Allegiant quickly became a cultural phenomenon, selling over 455,000 copies in its first day alone and sparking heated debates among readers for its controversial ending. Unlike most YA dystopian novels that conclude with neat resolutions, Roth dared to challenge conventions with a finale that forced readers to confront difficult questions about sacrifice, identity, and what it truly means to be damaged. The book's exploration of genetic determinism versus free will resonated so deeply that it inspired college courses examining its ethical implications, while celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Watson publicly discussed their emotional reactions to its conclusion. The city of Chicago has never felt more claustrophobic. After Evelyn's factionless army overthrew Janine Matthews and the erudite leadership in a swift but brutal coup, the faction system, the very foundation of their society for generations, lies in ruins. Triss Prior and her companions find themselves imprisoned in the sterile white halls of the former erudite headquarters, awaiting judgment for revealing the truth about their city's origins. The mysterious video featuring Edith Prior has shattered their understanding of their world like glass, suggesting that beyond Chicago's walls lies a society that desperately needs the Divergent to help heal a broken world. The weight of this revelation hangs heavy in the stale air of their cells, as they grapple with the knowledge that their entire existence has been part of a larger experiment. The revelation creates an immediate and violent schism among the city's inhabitants. Some cling desperately to the familiar structure of the factions, while others embrace the chaos of change. Evelyn Johnson Eaton, Tobias's mother and the calculating leader of the factionless, wastes no time in instituting martial law. She seals the city with armed guards at every exit, determined to maintain her newfound power through force and intimidation. Her patrols roam the streets in black armbands, their weapons a constant reminder of the new order. Meanwhile, a rebel group calling themselves the Allegiant forms in secret meetings across the city, their whispered conversations carrying two ambitious goals: to restore the faction system that gave their lives meaning, and to send an expedition beyond the fence as Edith Prior instructed in her cryptic message. When Tobias helps Triss escape her imprisonment by cleverly manipulating the truth serum during her trial, a display of both his intelligence and his devotion, they quickly join forces with the Allegiant. The group includes familiar faces like Christina, still grieving the loss of Will but determined to move forward, and Kara, whose analytical mind proves invaluable in planning their escape. Uriah joins them, bringing his characteristic humor even in dark times, along with unexpected allies like Peter, whose motivations remain as murky as ever. Their escape plan culminates in a heart-pounding nighttime journey to the fence, though it comes at a terrible cost when Triss witnesses Tori's death during a vicious factionless ambush. The woman who once identified Triss as Divergent, who protected her secret at great personal risk, dies just hours before she would have discovered her brother George, long thought dead, is actually alive beyond the fence, a cruel twist of fate that underscores the personal costs of their revolution. This opening sequence establishes the novel's central tension between truth and deception, between staying within familiar confines and venturing into the unknown. The city itself becomes a character, its crumbling facades and empty streets reflecting the collapse of their social order. As Triss observes while jumping from the train beyond the city limits, each moment weighted with significance. "I touch the wall of the train car one last time, running my fingertips along the metal, which is already warm from the sun. I step over the edge and land with bent knees on the ground." Her departure from the train symbolizes leaving behind not just physical boundaries, but the entire framework that has defined her identity, the factions, the city, and everything she once believed to be true about her world. When Triss and her companions venture beyond Chicago's boundaries, they discover a truth more shocking than they imagined. Their city isn't a post-apocalyptic refuge, but an experimental community created by the Bureau of Genetic Welfare, a government agency working to correct genetic damage caused by historical genetic manipulation. The revelation that their entire society was engineered, their memories altered, their history fabricated, shakes the very foundation of their identity and purpose. David, the Bureau's leader, explains that generations ago, scientists attempted to eliminate undesirable human traits through genetic modification. Instead of creating perfect humans, they produced individuals prone to certain behavioral deficits, violence, dishonesty, cowardice, low intelligence, creating devastating societal consequences. The genetic manipulation triggered widespread social collapse, civil wars, and the breakdown of government structures across the nation. The divergent are actually people whose genes have naturally healed over generations, returning to pure human status. The factions were designed as a social experiment to contain and rehabilitate the genetically damaged population while encouraging genetic healing through controlled breeding and social conditioning. This revelation devastates the group in different ways. For Triss, learning her divergence simply means she's genetically pure, GP, feels reductive, stripping away the uniqueness she once found in her identity. The special qualities she believed made her different, her ability to think independently, her resistance to simulations, her capacity to embody multiple factions, are reduced to mere biological determinism. For Tobias, the discovery that he isn't truly divergent, but merely has a genetic anomaly that mimics some divergent traits, crushes him. Despite his demonstrated abilities to overcome fear landscapes and resist simulations, he's labeled genetically damaged, reinforcing his deepest insecurities about his worth and forcing him to question every achievement and relationship in his life. The Bureau's facility, built in what was once O'Hare Airport, represents a society that has replaced faction divisions with an equally problematic genetic hierarchy. The sprawling complex houses advanced technology, sophisticated surveillance systems, and decades of data from various experiments. GPs receive preferential treatment, better jobs, housing, and educational opportunities, while GDs face systemic discrimination, despite the Bureau's supposed mission to heal genetic damage. This hypocrisy becomes evident when Triss visits the fringe, impoverished communities of GDs living outside government protection, and learns that crimes against GDs are treated less seriously than those against GPs. The stark contrast between the Bureau's pristine corridors and the desperate conditions in the fringe communities reveals the true nature of their supposed benevolent mission. Through these revelations, Roth brilliantly inverts the novel's premise. What began as a story about transcending artificial social divisions becomes an exploration of whether biological determinism is any more valid a basis for judging human worth. The parallel between faction discrimination and genetic discrimination forces readers to confront how society perpetuates systems of oppression, merely replacing old prejudices with new ones. As Matthew, a sympathetic Bureau scientist, tells Triss, genes aren't everything. People, even genetically damaged people, make choices. That's what matters. This perspective challenges both the Bureau's ideology and readers' assumptions about identity, destiny, and human value. As Triss and Tobias navigate this new reality, they simultaneously grapple with painful connections to their pasts. Triss discovers her mother, Natalie, was originally from outside the experiment, rescued from the fringe as a child, and later sent into Chicago as a Bureau agent to prevent divergent deaths. Through her mother's journal, Triss pieces together a more complex picture of the woman who sacrificed herself to save her daughter. The journal entries reveal harrowing details of Natalie's early life in the fringe, where she witnessed firsthand the devastating effects of genetic damage and societal collapse. Natalie's story reveals how she fell in love with Andrew Pryor despite her mission, choosing family over duty. Initially assigned to monitor Chicago's experiment, she found herself drawn to Andrew's quiet strength and unwavering principles. Their courtship, conducted within abnegation's austere customs, grew into a deep bond that transcended her bureau loyalties. This revelation helps Triss reconcile her abnegation and dauntless identities, understanding that her mother embodied both selflessness and courage. "I feel like I am gathering the broken pieces of myself and becoming whole again," Triss reflects after reading her mother's words, finding particular solace in entries describing Natalie's own struggles with dual identities. Meanwhile, Tobias confronts his own demons through surveillance footage of Chicago, watching both his parents spiral toward conflict. The footage shows Marcus leading clandestine Allegiant meetings, his measured public persona contrasting sharply with glimpses of his private rage. Evelyn, hardened by years of exile, methodically prepares to deploy death serum against her enemies, her actions echoing the abuse she once fled. Their impending civil war mirrors the internal conflict Tobias feels, torn between his desire to forge a new identity and his inability to fully escape his origins. The surveillance room becomes his personal purgatory, where he spends hours analyzing his parents' movements, searching for understanding in their choices. The weight of the past manifests differently for each character. For Caleb, Triss's brother who betrayed her to Janine Matthews, it's overwhelming guilt that drives him to volunteer for a dangerous mission. His attempts at redemption are complicated by Triss's struggle to trust him again, creating a delicate dance of reconciliation between siblings. For Christina, it's learning to live with the memory of Will's death while opening herself to new connections, particularly with Uriah and other survivors who understand loss. For Kara, it's reconciling her eroded identity with the knowledge that the factions were merely an experiment, a journey that leads her to question everything she once believed about intelligence and worth. Through these parallel journeys, Roth explores how our histories shape but don't determine us. When Tobias studies his family tree in the genealogy room, Triss realizes he is a man who desperately wants to be good, despite all the evidence that he isn't. "I realize that's what I like about him, not that he's perfect, but that he's trying so hard to be." This understanding that we are defined not by our genetic makeup or our past mistakes, but by our continuous efforts to choose rightly, becomes central to the novel's philosophy. The characters' struggles with their personal histories mirror larger questions about heredity, identity, and the possibility of transcending one's origins. Amidst political upheaval and existential crises, Allegiant portrays love as both vulnerability and strength. Triss and Tobias's relationship faces its greatest challenges as they navigate their new reality with conflicting perspectives. When Tobias joins Nita's rebellion against the Bureau without consulting Triss, their relationship fractures. Triss feels betrayed, not just by his actions, but by his dismissal of her concerns as petty jealousy rather than legitimate warnings. Their reconciliation comes through mutual recognition of each other's brokenness. After days of separation, Triss finds Tobias in the genealogy room tracing his family tree and realizes, "I came in here because I wanted to tell you that I understand why you've been keeping secrets and making unilateral decisions. I know what it's like to hate yourself, and I know what it's like to want to punish yourself for it." This moment marks a turning point in their relationship, a shift from idealization to acceptance of imperfection. Later, when they make love for the first time, Triss reflects, "His hands slide down my bare back, and he presses me to him, and I feel like we are not two people, but instead a single entity." Their physical intimacy represents their emotional vulnerability, each allowing the other to see and accept their damaged parts. Other relationships throughout the novel provide counterpoints to Triss and Tobias's journey. Christina and Uriah find comfort in friendship after losing loved ones. Kara demonstrates forgiveness by working alongside Triss despite Will's death. Even peripheral characters like Amar and George show that love can persist across seemingly insurmountable barriers. Perhaps most poignantly, the novel explores familial love through Triss's complicated relationship with Caleb. Despite his betrayal, she struggles with her abnegation-ingrained belief that family deserves forgiveness. When Caleb volunteers for a suicide mission to deploy memory serum in the weapons lab, Triss recognizes his motivation isn't love, but guilt, a crucial distinction that leads to her fateful decision to take his place. Through these varied relationships, Roth suggests that love isn't just emotional connection, but active choice. Choosing someone despite their flaws, choosing forgiveness despite pain, choosing sacrifice despite fear. As Triss reflects, I realize that it's not about where you land, but how you choose to fall.
One of Allegiant's most profound themes is the relationship between memory, identity, and ethical action. The Bureau's memory serum, capable of erasing a person's entire history while leaving basic skills intact, raises disturbing questions about personhood and responsibility. As Tobias observes, take a person's memories and you change who they are. This technology creates moral dilemmas throughout the novel. When David plans to reset Chicago's population to prevent civil war, he justifies mass memory erasure as preserving lives. When Tobias considers using memory serum on either Marcus or Evelyn to end their conflict, he rationalizes it as healing a broken person. When Peter begs for memory serum to escape his own violent nature, he sees it as his only path to redemption. Each scenario forces readers to question if our memories make us who we are, is erasing them an act of violence or mercy? Is it ethical to remake someone without their consent, even if they might be happier afterward? Can true healing come from forgetting rather than reconciling with our past? The novel suggests that while memories, especially painful ones, shape us, identity transcends mere recollection. When Triss faces the death serum in the weapons lab, she draws strength not from specific memories, but from deeper values instilled by her parents and reinforced through her choices. Similarly, when Tobias contemplates erasing his memories after Triss's death, Christina argues that doing so would dishonor Triss by erasing her importance in his life. Perhaps most tellingly, the epilogue shows that even after the Bureau staff have their memories reset and their prejudices removed, healing remains an ongoing process requiring conscious effort. As Tobias reflects in the final lines, "Since I was young, I have always known this. Life damages us, everyone. We can't escape that damage. But now I am also learning this. We can be mended. We mend each other." This perspective suggests that true identity isn't found in genetic makeup or even in memories, but in the continuous process of making choices and forming connections, a process that requires remembering both our triumphs and our wounds. Allegiant culminates in an exploration of sacrifice that challenges conventional heroic narratives. Throughout the trilogy, Triss has demonstrated willingness to risk her life for others. However, in the final chapters, Roth distinguishes between true sacrifice and self-destruction motivated by guilt or worthlessness. When Caleb volunteers for the suicide mission to deploy memory serum in the weapons lab, Triss recognizes his motivation. "I guess I feel like it's the only way I can escape the guilt for all the things I've done. I've never wanted anything more than I want to be rid of it." She understands that his sacrifice stems not from love, but from a desire to escape his own conscience, a realization that leads her to take his place. Triss's decision to face the death serum herself represents true sacrifice, giving up something precious, her life and future with Tobias, for something she values more, saving both the city's population and the Bureau staff from having their identities erased. Her immunity to the death serum allows her to reach the weapons lab, but David's bullets ensure her sacrifice is complete. In her final moments, Triss sees her mother and asks, "Am I done yet?" Natalie's response, "Yes, my dear child, you've done so well," provides the absolution Triss has sought since her parents' deaths. Her sacrifice completes her journey from faction-bound girl to self-actualized woman who defines her own identity through her choices rather than external labels. The aftermath of Triss's death forces other characters to confront different kinds of sacrifice. Tobias must sacrifice his desire to escape his pain through memory serum, choosing instead to honor Triss by remembering her. Christina sacrifices her anger toward Tobias for his role in Uriah's death, offering friendship when he most needs connection. Even Peter makes a kind of sacrifice in choosing to start over with memory serum, acknowledging his inability to overcome his worst impulses otherwise. Through these varied sacrifices, Roth suggests that true heroism isn't found in dramatic gestures, but in the daily choice to value others' needs alongside our own, a perspective that aligns with the novel's critique of both faction-based and genetically determined value systems. As Allegiant reaches its conclusion, it offers a powerful meditation on breaking cycles of violence and prejudice. The novel presents multiple systems that perpetuate harm: the faction system that forces people into narrow identities, the genetic hierarchy that privileges pure genes, and the personal cycles of abuse exemplified by the Eaton family. Tobias's confrontation with Evelyn represents one path to breaking these cycles. Rather than forcing memory serum on his mother as planned, he offers a choice. You can lead the factionless and fight the Allegiant, but you'll lose me forever. Or you can let this crusade go and you'll have your son back. This moment marks Tobias's rejection of his father's coercive approach and his mother's revolutionary violence, choosing instead reconciliation through mutual compromise. Similarly, the plan to reset the Bureau staff's memories represents an ethically complex attempt to break the cycle of genetic discrimination. While using memory serum against people's will mirrors the Bureau's own tactics, Triss justifies it as the only way to prevent greater harm to Chicago's population and the other experiments. By reprogramming the Bureau without their prejudice, she hopes to create space for a more just society to emerge. The epilogue, set 2.5 years later, shows the partial success of these efforts. Chicago has become a self-governing city where former faction members and factionless live together, though old divisions haven't completely disappeared. The Bureau now works with, rather than experiments on, the city's population. Tobias has established a cautious relationship with his mother while leaving his father behind. Yet Roth resists portraying these changes as utopian solutions. Prejudice hasn't been eliminated, just transformed. Political challenges remain. Personal healing continues to be a daily struggle. As Tobias observes while watching the Allegiance raid on a weapons storehouse, I realize that we can still hear the pulse of revolution, the steady beat of the Allegiance march. There is no clean division between peace and fighting, no clear boundaries between the right way to love and the wrong way. I wish there were. This acknowledgement of ongoing complexity represents the novel's most mature insight, that breaking cycles of destruction requires not grand gestures, but persistent effort to choose differently each day. As Christina tells Tobias in the epilogue, life becomes bearable by focusing on the moments that don't suck, rather than expecting perfect resolution. Allegiant concludes the Divergent trilogy by challenging the very premise that launched it. What began as a story about a girl discovering her divergence, her inability to fit neatly into faction categories, evolves into a broader questioning of all systems that attempt to define human worth through single characteristics, whether behavioral tendencies or genetic markers. Throughout the novel, characters struggle to redefine themselves after losing the identities that anchored them. Kara laments, "I'm an Erudite, and that's all I am," when she learns the factions were experimental constructs. Tobias spirals into self-doubt after discovering he isn't truly divergent. Christina questions who she is without Will. Even minor characters like Peter seek radical reinvention through memory erasure. Triss's journey offers the clearest path through this identity crisis. After learning her divergence merely indicates genetic healing, she initially feels reduced to a biological category. However, she gradually recognizes that her identity transcends both faction labels and genetic markers. Before her final mission, she has an epiphany. "I belong to the people I love, and they belong to me. They and the love and loyalty I give them form my identity far more than any word or group ever could." This realization represents the trilogy's philosophical culmination, that true identity emerges not from external categories, but from our connections and choices. As Tobias reflects while scattering Triss's ashes, There are so many ways to be brave in this world. Sometimes bravery involves laying down your life for something bigger than yourself or for someone else. Sometimes it involves giving up everything you have ever known or everyone you have ever loved for the sake of something greater. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it is nothing more than gritting your teeth through pain and the work of every day, the slow walk toward a better life. In this final understanding, Roth offers readers a powerful alternative to deterministic systems, whether faction-based, genetically-based, or even memory-based. We are not defined by single traits or past experiences, but by our continuous capacity to choose connection over division, understanding over prejudice, and love over fear. This freedom to define ourselves through our choices, rather than being defined by external categories, becomes the trilogy's lasting message.